Development at Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. It is written, buried with him by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. It is written, what are these communications you have one with another as you walk? It is written, John looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, for he was not found because God translated him. For he had witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well pleasing unto God. And without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. In sorrow I wandered, my spirit oppressed. But now I am happy, securely I rest. From morning till evening, glad carols I sing. And this is the reason I walk with the King. For years in the fetters of sin I was bound. The world could not help me, no comfort I found. But now, like the birds in the sunbeams of spring, I'm free and rejoicing, I walk with the King. O soul near despair, in the lowlands of strife, look up and let Jesus come into your life. The joy of salvation to you he would bring. Come into the sunlight and walk with the King. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel sermon, Walking with Jesus. In 1 John, the second chapter, the apostle said, he that saith he knoweth him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Walking with Jesus can be a very interesting and profitable experience. In Genesis, we read of a man named Enoch who walked with God, and was not, for God took him. In Hebrews is a fuller explanation when we are told, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, for God took him. Walk with God like Enoch, and you will be able to sing, I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise his name. No longer I roam. My soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. Then again we read in Genesis chapter 6, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. That was a very profitable walk, because God rewarded Noah by giving him and his family an all-expense-paid cruise on a worldwide ocean voyage, while those who did not accept the invitation for that voyage stayed home and drowned. Perhaps one of the most thrilling examples of the victorious walk with God is in the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the third chapter of Daniel. These three worthies refused to bow down and worship the god Nebuchadnezzar had made of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. They were bound hand and foot, and cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace that had been heated 7 times hotter than ever before. The king looked into the furnace and said, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God." Those who walk with Jesus today, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will also be delivered from the fire. And from observing world conditions today, it appears that the fire may still be heated 7 times hotter than ever before. But those who walk with Jesus are like those 3 worthies of old. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. It is also appropriate to notice that Peter one time received an invitation from Jesus to take a walk with him on the water. Jesus was doing it, and Peter said, "Let me do it also, Lord." Jesus said, "Come." Peter went down from the boat and walked a few steps, and then got scared and started to sink. Jesus also invites us to come and walk with him. We may not walk on the water as Peter did, but if we try hard, we may have enough traction to walk on the land without falling in a sinkhole. Paul warns us in Ephesians to walk circumspectly as we walk. In other words, watch your step as you walk with Jesus. I truly believe I would be remiss if I did not mention the warning about walking in Revelation chapter 16. "Blessed is he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Keeping your garments means keep everything covered that you ought not be showing. It appears that many are so proud of various parts of their anatomy, they want the whole world to see what ought to be covered. Remember, Jesus said, "Behold, I come as a thief." Then there is that sad account about walking with Jesus in John 6. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus asked the 12 if they were leaving also. It was Simon Peter who spoke for them all when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that thou art the Holy One of God." Jesus said unto them, "Did I not choose you 12? And one of you is a devil." Now this he spake of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware there are some people who do not want to walk with the Lord. It makes them feel very uncomfortable. Adam and Eve heard the voice of God as he walked in the Garden of Eden after they sinned, and they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. But Adam found out, like all of us will find out sooner or later, on the day of judgment. As John tells us in Revelation, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no room for them." There will be no hiding place down here when Jesus comes again. And now let us consider some various places where we may walk with Jesus today. To walk with Jesus is to walk with him on resurrection ground. Luke tells of 2 disciples on resurrection day walking about 7 miles to the village of Emmaus. As they walked, they communed and questioned about the things that had come to pass. They were throwing their comments back and forth to each other. Perhaps one said, "What does it mean when they saw the linen clothes lying? They're all rolled up." The other responded, "And What did Mary mean by that statement about seeing angels? The other threw another right at him and said, what did she mean when she said the Lord said, touch me not? What was that all about? The other, I thought, he was to be the Messiah, but now this. They had no answers, just questions, one after the other, back and forth, back and forth. About that time, they were surprised to see someone else with them. They did not recognize him as the Lord, because their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. As they walked, the unknown Jesus began to tell them about the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Scriptures, about the resurrection. And it was as they walked and went into the inn, he broke the bread in the inn, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said, did not our hearts burn within us, as he opened unto us the Scriptures, as he spake to us in the way? They came to the conclusion that Jesus was alive before they recognized him. Their conclusion about the resurrection was not based on what they saw, but upon what the Bible said, the Scriptures. It was the testimony of the Word of God that convinced them that Jesus was alive. This knowledge was too good to keep to themselves. They arose and retraced their walk over the 7 miles to tell the others, Jesus is alive. Ladies and gentlemen, we have never seen the risen Lord either, but we have the same testimony of the two on the road to Emmaus. Our proof that Jesus arose from the dead is the Word of God. Jesus told Thomas in John 20, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, and yet have believed. The gospel song says it for us. We saw thee not when thou didst come into this world of sin and death, nor yet beheld that cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amidst that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do. But we believe the act was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in the upper room, nor met thee in the open way. But we believe, the angels said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wondering view and then to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. Cleopas and his companion walked with Jesus that day on the road to Emmaus on resurrection ground in the first century. And we can walk on the same resurrection ground today as Cleopas and his companion in the 21st century. If we say that we abide in him, we ought also to walk, even as he walked. Then again, to walk with Jesus is to walk with him on holy ground. Paul the Apostle said in Romans 6, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. To walk with him in the newness of life is important when we consider what the Lord said to the church in Sardis in Revelation 3. A few names in Sardis have not defiled their garments. they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. Jesus said, if they repent, their names will not be blotted out of the book of life. How could he blot their names out of the book of life if their names were not in the book of life in the first place? Only those who continue to walk in the newness of life will have the promise to walk with Jesus in white in the life to come. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this world's dark light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy days be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in the light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. To walk with Jesus is to walk on resurrection ground. To walk with Jesus is to walk on holy ground. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. A third time we are made aware that walking with Jesus includes walking with him on sacrificial ground. Consider the import of the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. Again the next day, as John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John and Andrew followed Jesus even though he had been pointed out to them the previous day as a Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, a Lamb to be sacrificed. To follow Jesus both then and now is to live a life of sacrifice. Walk with Jesus, and you are walking on sacrificial ground. I hear several times a week of many who are walking on sacrificial ground in faraway places where churches are closed, Bibles confiscated, Christians imprisoned, and yet hear little or nothing about giving up the fight. What a strange contrast with some who are ready to quit at the slightest criticism here in America. How many of us would want to trade places with Stephen, who was stoned? Would you rather be stoned or endure criticism? How about exchanging a couple of Paul's turns when he says, Five times I received 40 stripes of the Jews, save one. Suppose Paul had said, I would rather be horsewhipped than to endure criticism. Remember, Jesus said, The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of the household? If they call Jesus a Lord of the flies, no doubt that would include the maggots. If that was an expression of their disdain for him, then we have nothing to get excited about. Make no mistake about it. To walk with Jesus is to walk on sacrificial ground. He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk, even as he walked. To walk with Jesus is to walk on resurrection ground, holy ground, sacrificial ground, and also on evangelistic ground. We see Jesus walking on evangelistic ground in Matthew 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they straightway left the boat and their father and followed him. To walk with Jesus meant that they were to walk on evangelistic ground. Peter and Andrew did not know at that time, but walking with Jesus would take them from the shore of the Sea of Galilee to a mountain in Galilee where Jesus would give them the Great Commission to be fishers of men, and promised to be with them, and then the preaching of their word, even unto the end of the world. The fishermen who fished on the Sea of Galilee are still fishing today through the preaching of faithful preachers in the great ocean of humanity. Walking with Jesus would take them to the day of Pentecost, where Peter would be the spokesman for the first gospel sermon. To walk with Jesus on evangelistic ground is very difficult. The admonition of Amos is very appropriate. He said, Can two walk together except they be agreed? How can a person walk with Jesus evangelistically if he does not agree with Jesus and his word? Peter spoke as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance when he said, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For a person to walk through life without walking with the Lord is the most dangerous choice that can be made. In the book of Job, we read of a conversation of God with the devil. God asked Satan where he had been, and Satan said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Then in 1 Peter 5, the Apostle Peter explains the devil's activities further when he says, Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. A person who walks through life without the Lord is fair game for the mugger of your soul. If we walk with Jesus on resurrection ground, sacrificial ground, holy ground, and then walk with him on evangelistic ground, we should be able to say in the words of the gospel song, I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise his name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel, as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org, and don't forget to tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
Just a prayer away. just a prayer. Oh.